All right, well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to this part of the service in Jesus' name. You know, it's always such a joy to be back with you all this past week and last weekend, my wife and I were out of the area here, and Barb and I took time to go to a little bed and breakfast out in Mercersburg, Pennsylvania, over the weekend, and then I traveled on out to Ohio to take part of a minister's conference out there. Brother Aaron was there, and Abner, and myself, and we just had, I think you would say that, Abner and Aaron, I mean, it was a blessed week. It was just a tremendous week. It was anointed messages. There were some of the brethren who shared there. One of the brethren shared on, thought about the deacon ordination coming up. He shared on, what was it, the role of a deacon or the office of a deacon? And then the same brother was a deacon. He filled the office of a deacon for a time. Now he's a pastor for the last number of years. And so he shared also in the role of, somewhat of, on the role of shepherding, what, you know, the role of a pastor in shepherding and overseeing the flock. And sandwiched between those two messages was a message on unity of leadership and harmony, unity and harmony of leadership. Tremendous messages. And then one brother had a series again, three messages from Tuesday through Thursday, on expository preaching. And that was I thoroughly enjoyed that. These brethren were very vibrant and yeah, and then with Dale Heisey was there. What was the title of his messages, Aaron? About the primitive church, right? Yeah, the primitivity of the word. In other words, and tremendous messages again. I felt like we had a tremendous anointed week. It was, I would say it impacted me greater this time than it ever has before. I was there, this was my third time there. And it was just a joy. And I felt refreshed and in ministry, and just seeing my role as a pastor and as an elder here, you know, my shepherding role under Christ, in a refreshing renewed way, I should say. So we just came back. I just came back on Friday. I think we all came back on Friday. I went my separate way out there. I wanted to visit some prison inmates on the way out, and one on the way back. So I ended up staying in a motel, and then I only got to visit actually one of the inmates. I didn't realize that they didn't have visiting hours for the one prison on the last Monday of the month. Every other Monday's usually open, so I wasn't able to visit the one. So, amen. Okay, well, let's get into the message. I know it's getting fairly late here, so let's pray. Can we stand for a word of prayer? And then we'll get into the message here. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your goodness in this last week. Lord, I know Brother Aaron, Abner, and I were tremendously inspired and blessed and just challenged, Lord. We just want to thank you, Father, for this past week, Lord, of ministering your word to our hearts. And, you know, that's not just, I don't necessarily have a message that flows out of that, but God, I am full this morning. I just want to thank you for the fullness of your word that comes into our lives when we sit under the preaching of your word, under the sound of the gospel, under the sound of the word of God. So, Father, thank you. And bless this service, Lord. Bless and guide me. Give me grace, Lord, to speak your word in clarity. Help me, Lord, to bring forth your word in such a way that we are all edified. Father, thank you. I thank you that you're my shepherd and my father. Blessed be your name. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, well, I'm going to go on, and as you know, I'm preaching expositorily the last number of, maybe the last year almost. And so I'd like to go to Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 4, and maybe I'll go down, for the sake of time, I won't read the portion and read it first, so I'll just get right into the verses here that I'd like to share on this morning. So I'll just go down through a passage here to verse 24. Verse 17 of chapter 4, I had in the last message I concluded on verse 16 about the body of Christ. And then it says here, and that we're members one of another. And then in verse 17 it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the old, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So Paul begins here by saying, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye walk, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And, you know, he says, "This I say therefore." And, you know, looking back, he's looking back at all that he's said. And he said, you know, if you remember correctly, in the first message that I shared in Ephesians chapter 1, I shared who we are in Christ. You know, because of who? Because of our standing in Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore I say unto you that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We have a standing in Christ Jesus. You know, I mentioned in that message of, you know, I shared who we are in Christ, the position we have in Christ Jesus. Dead unto sin. Romans brings that out very clearly. We are dead unto sin, alive unto God. But so does Ephesians chapter 1. You know, it very clearly brings out here that just as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, so we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So let's remember that's where Paul is coming from as he shares this first verse here, as he shares it here in verse 17, that he's looking back and saying, we have a standing in Christ that is tremendous, a tremendous position in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I trust this morning all of us know who we are in Christ. In Christ, sin shall not have dominion over you. In Christ, we are quickened together with Him through the power of His resurrection to live out the new man who He's created, who was brought to birth at the time we received Christ. The time when we were regenerated. And also, going on in Ephesians here, you know, in chapter 3, he shows us the inheritance that we have in Christ. Where am I at here? Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, in verse 15, as I brought out in another message, that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. And then later, in verse 18, it says, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that's the backdrop of what Paul is sharing here in verse 17, including that God has placed us into a body. We're part of a body. We're members one another. This is a backdrop that Paul is speaking from and saying, "Wherefore I say unto you," in verse 17, "Therefore, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your own mind." We have a tremendous standing in Christ, a tremendous fellowship of the Spirit, a tremendous place in His body. You know, as we consider the body of Christ, you know, the blessing of one another. I mean, I guess I just came to realize that this past week again. You know, and various ministers sharing, you know, the blessing that the body is. The blessing of you know, helping and aiding one another and praying for one another and being there for one another. And that's You know, that's where Paul's coming from when he says here in verse 17, therefore I say unto you, in this place that we have in Christ, in this place that we have in His body, therefore, let us not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So brothers and sisters, you know, I don't know if maybe some of us are struggling this morning with past sins and issues and things that we grapple with and temptations of our flesh and of the Spirit for that matter. It says here, you know, as other Gentiles walk, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, that's where sin leads to. Sin leads to destruction. It leads to a tremendous hardness of heart. It says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. You know, that's where sin can lead to in our lives. And brother, sister, let's be aware. Here's somewhat of a warning by Paul to the body of Christ at Ephesus. Somewhat of a warning saying to the body there, therefore I say unto you, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the lusts of their flesh, giving in to the lusts of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. So let us not walk. Brothers and sisters, a tremendous place we have in Christ Jesus. Let us remember that as we move forward in our Christian journey. We have a tremendous position. And so Paul gives a very clear warning here. But then he says in verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation or behavior. That word conversation is often means behavior. That ye put off concerning the former behavior the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, brothers and sisters, we do, you know, I was just reminded again this past week, or somebody spoke that, I think it was this past week we were sharing together, how that sin is not total. We're not free from temptation. In other words, we don't believe in a total eradication of the flesh. We are still in these bodies. We are still tempted. We're still in a place at times where even the enemy, you know, is there with throws his attacks at us and his temptations, and so we're not past. I'm looking forward to our bodies, our eternal bodies, when all that temptation and pain and suffering in this life is over. But as for now, Paul commands us that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And brothers and sisters, let us always keep in mind, always bear in mind that sin is deceitful. It will deceive you. Sin is not to be played with. In my Christian life, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I was regenerated by the Spirit of God some 40 years ago now, and I've watched people who play with sin. I've watched people who can think they can play with fire. People who can think like, I can just give in. I can, you know, give my little finger to it somehow. And oh, the path of destruction sometimes that they go down. Like the song goes, sin will take you further than you want to go. It definitely will. Brothers and sisters, sin is not to be played with. Yes, we have our slip-ups. We have our times when we slip and falter in our Christian journey. But that's different than playing with it. That's different than you going into sin and saying, I'm just going to play with it a little bit. I'm going to give in a little. It looks so pleasurable. I just want to tinker with a little bit and play and see, you know, see how it tastes. See how it feels. And it says here, the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. It will deceive you, and at the end it will slay you. So brothers and sisters, this morning Paul's warning and Paul's directive and command here is that you put off Put off the former behavior, the old man who's corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You know, sin clouds us. I have a pair of glasses on this morning, right? You know, sometimes my glasses get a little fogged, especially if I'm weed eating. For some reason, when I'm weed eating, I'm sweating and my glasses get fogged and I can't hardly see what I'm doing. And you know, that's what sin ends up doing. It begins to fog our lenses. Begins to taint our view. And we begin to get fogged. And then we begin to lose our way. And the next thing we find ourselves walking in total darkness. That's sin for you. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Sin is such that it will deceive you. And after a while, he warns us here in earlier, like I said, it brings out here that who pass feeling, who being past feeling have given them given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's talking about the Gentiles. But we need to be aware, lest we fall. Lest we be deceived. Lest we go down that road and think that somehow I can play with sin. Lest we end up there being past feeling, saying it doesn't really matter. And we lose the fear of God. You know, what we read in Romans in our Sunday school lesson this morning, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That can happen. It can happen to us if there's a tinkering and a playing and a gambling with sin and just a playing with the fire of it. Okay, going on here. Says that you and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'd like us to turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to read a few scriptures here. And in fact, this is the title of the message. This is where I got the title of the message out of. It says here in verse 1 of Thessalonians, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandment we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Brothers and sisters, it's our duty. It says that every one of you know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. In honor to our God. At a place where we are continuously living in a sanctified way in our Christian journey. That ye know how, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. And then it brings up the Gentiles again, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So brothers and sisters, God calls us to a life of holiness. He calls us to that. He calls us to a life of holiness. He says clearly here that He calls us to a life of holiness. And he says that For this is the will of God, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So that's our calling, brethren, that we know how. We know what it means from day to day in our Christian journey to possess our vessel in a sanctified way. A vessel unto honor. Then he says, because I have not called you unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So here in back to chapter 4 of Ephesians, and this is the title of the message, Possessing Our Vessel in Sanctification and Honor. Because I believe as we go down through this chapter, Paul gives us the way of God or the principles of God to be able to do that very thing. To be able to possess our vessel in a place of sanctification and honor to our God. Anyway, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, I've been challenged. My wife and I, we were, like I said, we were away for a few days, and the Lord just really showed me some needs in my life. Especially in the area of busyness, just too busy. Too much on my plate at times, and we needed to get some priorities straight. And you know, those things sometimes, even good things, can hinder us from the best. And I was seeing that happen in my life. I was seeing, and sometimes when I'm just bogged down with too much, I kind of get tempted and struggle emotionally, and just, you know, all of those things kind of crowd in on me. And then my prayer life, you know, my time with the Lord isn't as vibrant and strong. And I just saw again that, you know, we've just been too busy. And where you all have felt it as a congregation, I'm sorry. I know that I'm called to be a shepherd amongst you. And maybe some of your needs and some of your, maybe some of you have felt like you fell through the cracks in concerning my role as a pastor in your midst. We are setting our, Barb and I, by the grace of God, are going to chart a different path and walking in more of the vibrancy and thriving in God's Spirit and living the abundant life versus somewhat tired at times and weary. But anyway, here it says in Ephesians, that be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and holiness. Turn your Bibles to Romans 12. I just want to elaborate on a bit of what it means to be transformed, to have our minds renewed day by day. It says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed. That's a command there in Ephesians. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. But Romans 12 here, verse 1, and we know these verses well. I'll just read the first two verses here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, Paul starts here by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And again, looking at the backdrop of chapter 11, Paul's saying here, look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 brings out, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has seen, who has been His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to Him be glory forever. Amen. I like that. For of Him, it's talking about Jesus Christ. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And what I see Paul saying here is, I want you to experience the depth of these riches. I want you to be able to experience them. I want you to be able to internalize them. I want you to be able to experience the depth of these riches. I want you to be able to experience the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And I know there's things that we can't figure out about God, but I believe Paul is bringing it down to everyday life and saying, I want you to be able to experience these things in your everyday journey. And then he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Then he says, which is your reasonable service. That verse just really struck me in this past week. You know, just, that's my reasonable service. You know, brothers and sisters, we live in busy Lancaster County, and I heard it out there in the minister's meeting. You know, when I was asked, so where are you from? I had on my name tied Ronks, and they didn't really know where Ronks was. But when I told them that I'm from Lancaster County, oh, so you're from busy Lancaster County. You know, that's kind of the gist I got, is you're from busy Lancaster County. And you know, brothers and sisters, may it not be so amongst us that we are so busy and so full of the cares of life that we become tired and bogged down and we begin to lose our vibrancy. And we begin to lose out in our relationship with the Lord. We're tired and we just kind of get up, get our day started, and sure, we might breathe a prayer to the Lord, but no communion with Christ. No deep communion with our God. No deep communion, no seeking His face for your children, for your offspring, for yourselves, for our ministries. That's what was, it was convicting to me. I know one of the ministers there mentioned in the conference about George Mueller. He was asked, in his midst of his full life, of all these orphans, he was asked, how do you have the time to have your devotional life, your quiet time? How do you have that time? How do you have time to daily seek the Lord the way that you do? You know what George Mueller's answer was? He simply said, I can't afford not to. I can't afford not to spend time with my God and to know what direction He's giving me for my day. And may it be that way with us, that we understand that principle, I must be one who seeks the face of God, who knows the voice of God in my life, who knows His voice in my inner man. That from day to day I can discern, what does it say here? That you may be able to discern that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love that. But you know what it says here? Be renewed. It says, be not conformed to this world. You know this busy Lancaster County that they're speaking about when they talk to me about that? I think of, it doesn't feel good to me. Smells of the world. Smells like the world's business and busyness and all of that. That's what it smells like when I hear those words spoken. And I just think, Paul says very clearly here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And brothers and sisters, if we're so loaded down with cares and responsibilities and things that we're just loaded down, I find myself, it's difficult for me to keep my mind at a place of renewal. Where I can get up in the morning and I can realize it's a new day, Lord. Thank you, God. Those early morning hours, I covet them. I've not always had my mind in a place of newness in the morning, but I do covet those hours alone with God. In His mercy, He still meets with me. and I'm amazed at that, But in a new way, I'm realizing, it's my responsibility. This is your reasonable service to keep your body at a place. Our body involves our brain, the bodily functions. It mentions our bodies. It says, present your bodies. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I think Paul's just simply saying, this is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable service to be able to give unto the Lord. That you keep your bodies at a place where that renewing process can take place day by day. And thus your life is being transformed and more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And, praise God, in that we're able to discern that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who doesn't want that? Amen? We all want to discern the acceptable and perfect will of God. In that, we have that privilege day by day to experience that through the renewing of our mind, to experience God's voice in our life and know His will for a given day, for our very lives. Verse 3 brings out, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And I think Paul's just simply bringing out, this is the antidote of when you're tempted in this area of pride, is to have your mind renewed day by day. And I think it's the antidote for any other temptation and sin that we might face, is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, that we're at a place of our mind being renewed day by day. And thus the Spirit of God is upon us, and we're able to resist temptation, and we're able to overcome the powers of the enemy, even when he attacks us. You know, like I told you earlier, as many of you know, I went through depression, and I'm tempted in that area. If I'm tired, I'm more tempted, and sometimes I falter. But God is working in my heart in that area and showing me, you know, that's, Mel, this is some of the need that you've had. This is some of the need. You've been overly busy, overly taxed, getting to bed late, and no time with your wife, and all of those things have affected, you know, some of what I'm sharing about here this morning. And I don't want you to get a bad picture. We have a good marriage. But God, we really needed that time of renewal. And yeah, I thank God. Back to Ephesians now. I'm sorry, Brother Aaron, it's getting late. I'm purposely trying to get a little bit of a shorter message together, so hopefully I can wrap it up here shortly. Do you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, verse 20. Do you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness? You know, one thing that I want to bring out this morning is the word holiness. It says in that we are not called to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And, you know, I believe we are perfect in Christ Jesus at the day that we receive Christ into our lives. Our sin is gone. We are perfect in His sight. However, the Bible does say that we're to exercise ourselves unto holiness. And it also says in Romans that our fruit is Romans chapter 6, just you don't have to turn there, but it says, being now made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. I wanted to read verse 19. It just says, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, I believe as we walk with God in our everyday lives, we become more like Jesus. And I believe that's what that word holiness often means, is we become more like Christ. So we're called to a life of sanctification. We're called to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. And as we walk with our God, as we keep that renewing process, as our mind is renewed day by day, we are transformed into being more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what it means to exercise ourselves unto holiness. I believe that's what it means, the fruit of our righteousness, that the fruit of our lives yield from righteousness goes into holiness, like it says there in Romans. And I think, you know, and here in Ephesians, it brings that out somewhat. It says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We become more and more like Christ. And that's what it means to put on the new man. That's what God wants of us. He wants to make us more and more like His Son. That we are more and more conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, let's go on here. In verse 26, it says, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. In these verses here, I believe there's some practical ways at times that God wants to use, that we can utilize in our Christian journey, in this battle against temptation and putting off the old man and putting on the new. It says here, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, God wants to use you as a vessel. If you were giving to untruth and dishonesty, God wants to use you as a vessel to speak truth into your neighbor's life. And I'm not sure exactly how that all looks, but I do know He doesn't just want you to zip your mouth. Open your mouth to His glory. And I found nothing more hard to work with in lives that we counsel and give discipleship to in this matter of deceit and lying. It's just something that's hard to work with. And it's destructive. You know, there's a tremendous, parents struggle with it. If they're young people at that place, you know, it's so slippery. And it just causes such heartache at times in homes and families. And I'd just like to say this morning, if you are a person, under the sound of my voice, if you were a person or have been a person who has been given to deceit and lying, turn that mouth around. Don't just zip it. But now speak words of truth into the life of your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Speak truth. Let your mouth be used for His glory in bringing edification to another member of the body. It says, specifically brings out, for your members one of another. Somehow God wants to use your mouth of truth to bring to bear upon another some word of edification, some word of exhortation, some word of admonishment perhaps. Use your mouth to speak truth. Young people, if you were given to lying and deceit and you've repented of that, don't even be afraid sometimes to speak a word of admonishment into your sister's life or your brother's who you're seeing going down an erroneous path. Speak truth. Those things God uses, whether it's in the form of edification, encouragement, comfort, exhortation, or admonishment. Speak truth into your neighbor's life. Next one says here, neither give be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place unto the devil. You know, settle things. That's part, you know, the Bible says, one place it says in Scripture, holding faith and a pure conscience. That's how I find I can go on in my Christian journey. I lose my way if I don't keep my conscience pure. And I lose my way if I don't hold faith. If I live in discouragement, my vision begins to be clouded. You know, I begin to get confused. So, I believe God wants us to exercise holding faith and a pure conscience. And brothers and sisters, that comes right down to our everyday life. Us as fathers, us as mothers. Is there some times when you vent anger and frustration at your children or your spouse? You vent that. And you know at the end of the day that has taken place. You know you've vented. You know that your spouse was affected. Your children were affected. You know, I remember back in my roofing days, and I give all the glory to God, but, you know, I remember back in my roofing days, if I would leave home and I knew my wife's countenance was clouded because of something I'd spoken, something I'd done to her, and she was hurt. I just remember going off to work and thinking, you know, I'm leaving her behind for the entire day. Is her countenance going to be clouded because of what I spoke? Is she going to carry these hurt feelings throughout this entire day that I'm off at my work site? I just remember at times, you know, working through that over the phone as I travel. And just saying, Barb, I'm sorry. I know that this morning I hurt you. And it just felt so good. By the time I got to the job site, I knew it was clear. It says here, brothers and sisters, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let it happen. Don't let your children go to bed. Trouble in spirit. Because of me as a dad, me as a mother, have caused hurt. Have caused something in their hearts. Now they're going to bed, confused and troubled. They can't make sense out of what happened with Dad. Yeah, they know. They many times know that maybe they did something wrong. And they have their responsibility in all of that. But it just adds to their confusion when they go to bed under the anger of a father, or the confusion of a mother's irritated voice. Neither give place to the devil, brothers and sisters. There's a warning here, and I'm not sure if it's just about the anger or if it's about other sins of the Gentiles that he brings out earlier, but finally, in any given sin, I'm a counselor long enough that I know any given sin can give place to the devil, finally. Where the devil, the spirit of the home, becomes affected by your sin. The very spirit of your home. It can be lust, it can be anger, it can be any number of sins that can begin to affect your home. Okay, let's go on. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, this verse I just like to bring out, I believe, is a prime example of going against the grain of who you've been for so long. I love this illustration here. He tells the thief, there at Ephesus, you know, you who were a thief, steal no more. Quit stealing. You know better. I mean, you know, your conscience knows now that you're not to steal. You're not to go out and steal, take things from others. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but rather let him labor. Now he's to be a laborer. He's to be out there laboring. And a thief, what does he do during the day? Sleeps during the day, basically goes out at nighttime and takes property from others. But now he's to labor. He's to be one that labors. And brothers and sisters, this is a good way in any given habit in our lives, I believe, that God, if we go against sometimes the grain who we've been for so long, God can use that to transform our lives. Because he says here, let him labor, working with his hands. You who were a thief, no office job. No office job. Work out, go out there working with your hands. Go out there getting in the sweat and toil of the day and work with your hands. Have that focus of you used to be lazy, do nothing. Now get on the other side and work, toil and labor, working with your hands. Then he says that he may have to give. Working with the hands, the thing which is good. Make sure once you had an evil occupation of stealing, make sure that your occupation is good. Don't get a job at a bar or something where you're always around evil companions. But make sure the environment where you work is a good environment. I mean, yeah, we can't escape from some of the world being around us, but make sure that you're laboring that which is good. And then he says that he may have to give. Now the focus is not even to be taking for yourself, but giving to others. Have the focus as you're out there laboring that you may have to give to him that needeth. I just love that. I just love that. You know, as we think of behavioral habits in our lives, and I find, you know, like I shared this morning, I still struggle with some of my past sometimes, and I'm looking forward to this whole thing that we went through last weekend, making a difference in this area of my life. That by the grace of God, those priorities are going to be fulfilled. I mean, by the grace of God, we're going to move forward in those, and I believe that it's already bringing change and will continue. So I have some. We laid down some purposes last weekend. My wife and I, we sat together, and thank you for being patient. And sometimes, if occasionally we aren't here on a Sunday morning and we didn't go to a church service at all last Sunday, we just simply shared our hearts all Sunday morning. It was the most blessed heart-sharing time I think we've ever had since we're married, in the sense of just working through things and just, oh, it was just beautiful. But anyway, God wants, you know, for you, it might vary. But God says, God's Word brings out, sometimes habits, you need to counter that by doing totally the opposite. Maybe it's good even to the tree bends a little far this way and at the end of the day finally stands up straight rather than leaning the way that you used to lean all the time. Okay, I'm just going to wrap up just shortly here. I'm just going to verse 2 of chapter 5. It says here, "And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, those who have corrupt communication, if you were one who had corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth, he says, I think there's probably an extra carefulness needed there. If you were one who was a joker, you were one with foul language and filthy jokes, maybe you're one who needs to totally shut that off for a period of your life and seek to bring forth things that edify. I mean, joking, humor can be edifying, don't get me wrong. But maybe there's some, maybe for a time in your life, your habit needs to be that of sobriety when you're around others who are laughing and making good humor. But that's, you know, he purposefully says here, make sure that your mouth, what proceeds out of your mouth now is good to the use of edifying, that it ministers grace unto the hearers, and not that which you used to do, used to defile others by the words you spoke, used to make others feel dirty just being around you. Make sure that which comes out now edifies and builds up another. And he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know, I don't know if this verse is placed in here for the sake of all this. He brings out the thief here. He brings out different or all the sins of the Gentiles if we involve ourselves in those again. I'm not sure if that's why the verse is in here, but I tend to believe that it's more so concerning our words and the attitudes of our heart. He has it sandwiched right in here between bitterness and wrath and anger, which is the next verse. But he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And I'm sure there's various forms that we can grieve the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. But and so let's keep that in mind. But he says here, concerning corrupt communication, right after that, it brings out, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let's be those who have the Spirit of God vibrant in our lives. What does it say later on in the Ephesians here? It says, "Be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit." God does not want us to be, God forbid that we're at a place where we're grieving the Spirit, where the Spirit is at a very low ebb because He's been hurt. The Spirit is a dove. And I believe these out of the Trinity, He gets hurt and offended the most easily. And so let's be at a place, brothers and sisters, in our walk with the Lord, that the Spirit of God is vibrantly and powerfully working through us. Again, for the sake of our own spiritual journey in life, but also for the sake of us as fathers and mothers in our homes to our children. And yea, as we work in this world, that the testimony of Christ might be to our fellow employees and to those we have daily interactions with in the work world, if you will. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another." You know, it's first putting off the old man. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Malice is holding a grudge. You know, you have malice against someone. You're holding a grudge. You're holding resentment in your heart toward that one. But rather, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then the next verse says, and here I'll close just shortly, but it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I love that. You know, it says, well, let me just read the next verse. "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You know, I believe as we hold these attitudes of heart, These attitudes of heart are a part of us. This attitude of tenderness, of kindness, forgiveness, but also having that vibrant relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe God calls us His dear children. His dear children. So opposite of grieving the Spirit through our words and actions, as we walk in love, first of all to Christ Himself, and as we walk in love to our fellow man, we are called God's dear children. I love that. God's dear children. It says, and has given Him, as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, we're a sweet smell to God. We're a sweet smell to His nostrils. I love that. And I believe that's what it means to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. As we possess our vessels in that way, our lives are a sweet-smelling savor to the One who gave His life for us. And it says that's what He did. He gave His life for that. What does it say here? He says, loved us and gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So that's Christ. You know, He wants a bride without spot and wrinkle or any such thing, and He gave Himself for that. That our lives can be wholly pleasing to Him, and that we are a sweet savor to His nostrils in our daily Christian walk, in our Christian journey. Okay, I'm going to close here. And in closing, let's remember again, God wants us to be able to attain to His wisdom and knowledge. I read there in Romans. He wants us to be able to draw through Christ the depth of His riches, the depth of the riches of His wisdom and knowledge. That's His heart for us. God wants us to know Him. Like I read earlier, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be able to possess our vessel into sanctification, honor, that we can experience these things in our lives. So God's heart is, you know, it says there in Thessalonians, let me just remind us that every one of you should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. That's a responsibility of ours. It's a responsibility. That we know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor in our Christian journey. And later on there it says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. In that journey of possessing our vessel unto sanctification and honor, we become more like Him. More like Jesus Christ, His Son. I believe that's what heart of God is bringing out here. We become more conformed into the image of His Son. I trust that's each one of our heart and desire is to be more like Jesus. So I trust this morning, you know, in this message that we've heard here, that I trust it's given us, perhaps some of us, a picture, or maybe a new revelation of what it means. What it means to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. What it means to live a vibrant Christian life. What it means to live the abundant life. What it means to be dear children of God. It says He wants us to be followers of God as dear children. So brother and sister, let's possess our vessels unto sanctification and honor. Let's be those who fulfill this calling. We are called to a life of holiness before our God. And I trust this morning that going through these scriptures maybe has given you a renewed understanding or revelation what it means to walk, you know, to walk in this way and to have that vision in our Christian journey of living a fruitful and a vibrant and a full Christian life in the Lord our God. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Mel, so much for laboring in the Word, and thank you for your patience. It was a packed service. Thank you so much for being patient with us and the precious children. And thank you so much. Were you rewarded? Amen. Do you see your high calling? It's a pretty high one, isn't it? It's very high. Well, Paul said, not as though, there in Philippians, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Skipping a verse, he says, I shouldn't skip a verse. Verse 13, before, brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press, reaching forth to those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He is a rewarder. He has prizes for us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word here to our hearts this morning. And thank you that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you, Lord. Sometimes it took me a long time to realize that I need to seek you more than the rewards. But I do need to believe that you are a rewarder. So thank you, Lord, for those rewards that you give when we seek you. With all our hearts, you shall be found of us. Thank you, Lord. We give our hearts to you, Lord. Help us to seek you with all our hearts this week and allow you to reward us in that seeking. So, Father, we just commit our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.